9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Hope you're having a great Thursday. What do you know? What is that out there? It's sunshine. I can't believe it. We actually
maybe an optical illusion.
Have a little sun out today.
That's the reflection off of Ty's head.
Our colleague on Moose Country, come on, yeah. He's got his hat on.
Oh, okay.
If the hat was off, I'd say yes, that's the reflection off his head. With him and Wenzel over there, man, it's it'd be blinding.
Chrome Dome Central, yeah.
I mean, thank goodness Ty wears a hat. It'd be really blinding. All right.
We got a winner for Who Is It?
Okay.
We're jumping in to it here. Hour three.
All right. Don't forget, we'll have a defensive coordinator for the Mavericks, Trent Matthews, coming up. Mavs OC Tom Thanell. But we have a winner for Who Is It today.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Happy birthday today to one Patrick, don't call me Pat Mahomes the second. He is 27. I think that's today. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe I got it wrong. Who knows? But the answer was Patrick Mahomes.
And our winner?
Is Jared. Allegedly, Patrick's birthday is September 22nd. So disregard the details about the birthday. The person I was looking for was Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Jared got it right.
Congratulations to Jared today.
Yes.
All right. Pro Football Hall of Fame announced their 129 modern era nominees for the class of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
You got three Broncos Ring of Famers, Rod Smith, Tom Nalen, and Jason Elam. Wes Welker makes the list, Mark Schlereth, Neil Smith, DeMarcus Ware, Al Wilson, Trey Bly, Simeon Rice, and Seth Joyner. Rod Smith, we talked about it. We went from years ago, and this is me being a Broncos fan going, Rod Smith, I don't know. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. Love him. He's all-time Bronco great. He should be in the Hall of Fame. We've talked about the numbers a lot. His numbers are every bit as good as Michael Irvin's.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tom Nalen was widely considered one of the best centers in football during his time. Jason Elam considered one of the best kickers in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those guys should go into the Hall of Fame. They're not all three going to get in.
Not this year, no.
No. Down the road, I would like to think so. I'd like to think Rod would have a shot at getting in. But then I don't have a lot of confidence after they couldn't put Randy Gratishar in the Hall of Fame. So, but I do believe Rod Smith is a Hall of Famer.
I think he is.
Wes Welker. Dolphin, Patriot, Bronco. Pretty productive as a slot receiver. One of the better slot receivers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? I don't think he is.
I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer.
Slot guys don't... You typically think of guys that play to the numbers when you're thinking wide receivers, right?
Mm-hmm. How many slot guys are Hall of Famers?
None that comes off the top of my head. He's probably the best of that group of the Brandon Stokely's and guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
Edelman's probably right there with him, with Welker. Mark Schlereth, one of the Hogs, won a championship there, obviously in Denver. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think so.
I would think, considering what the resume was in both those places, yeah, probably so.
I mean, three rings, a 2,000-yard rusher behind him.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Neil Smith, I'd say fringe.
Doorstep.
Yeah.
Hall of the very good.
During his time with the Chiefs and the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarcus Ware is, mostly as a Cowboy. Al Wilson, will the career being cut short hurt him?
Yeah, he's not going in.
I don't think, as good as he was and as great as a Bronco.
If Gratishar's not going in, Al Wilson.
I don't think Al Wilson gets in. Dre Bly?
No.
Simeon Rice, maybe. But more with the other places he played than Denver.
Yeah.
Same with Dre Bly. I mean, Dre Bly was not what you call a great Denver Bronco.
But to be honest, on Simeon Rice, probably not. But if it was, it's not because of his Broncos resume.
Right. And same with Seth Joyner, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Rod Smith, all-time leading receiver, 849 catches, over 11,000 yards, 68 touchdowns. Nalen was a Pro Bowler five times. He was a two-time first-team All-Pro at center. And we talk about how important being an All-Pro is.
Mm-hmm.
And started 194 career games, second only to John Elway. Jason Elam, the franchise's all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, I don't know about kickers in the Hall of Fame. There's only two kickers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's going to be the third. He's going to get
The numbers say that he should be, but he's
going to get the Todd Helton. He played at altitude.
Yeah, look what he played at altitude. Kicked at altitude. I think he gets in eventually, but I think it's going to be a while. I don't think it's going to be in the next 5 years that he gets in. So, and I'd love to be wrong about that, but that's just... I think Rod Smith, Tom Nalen are your two best bets as far as guys that, to me, were Broncos pretty much the totality of their careers.
We look at Rod Smith, 29th all-time in catches. He's still top 30, and he hasn't played in 16 years with the way that the game is played now. Well behind him, different era, understand, Charlie Joyner.
Yeah. A lot of weapons when he played, too, for the Chargers.
Steve Largent. James Lofton is a ways behind Rod Smith, almost 100 full catches behind Rod Smith, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Yards. Rod Smith, 11,389. He's 34th all time. He's got 1,000 more yards in change than Lance Allworth, who's in the Hall of Fame. He's got different positions, I understand, but it's essentially the same team. Not essentially, it is the same team. Shannon Sharpe's in the Hall of Fame with 10,000 yards. As a tight end, but how many times was he on the end of the line of scrimmage as opposed to being split out as a wide receiver? Same team, you know. And he's like, Shannon Sharpe won two Super Bowls back-to-back with the Broncos. His third with the Ravens helps him. But still, if he gets the credit, Schlereth gets the credit, Rod Smith gets the credit.
Absolutely.
You know, and you take a look at, you know, where some other guys are. Calvin Johnson, maybe because he was so dominant during his time. He's 300 yards, a little less, ahead of Rod Smith. No rings. And he played 8 years as opposed to Rod's 12. Michael Irvin has 600 more yards than Rod Smith in one fewer season.
I just think the numbers say that Rod Smith's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at Wes Welker. We initially kind of go, I don't know, slot receiver, five-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro, 50 touchdown catches in his career, 9,924 yards in his career.
I have him on the all-time list outside the top 50.
Hmm.
I always like the neighborhood game.
Yeah, if you're inside the top 50, that
helps.
That helps your case a lot.
Who's in Wes Welker's neighborhood all time? Eric Molds right in front of him. Drew Hill right behind him.
Yeah.
Demaryius Thomas, 150, 160 yards behind Wes Welker. I don't know where Wes fits in. He's 23rd all-time in catches, right there with Keenan McCardell and Jimmy Smith and Julio Jones. Those guys aren't getting in.
You know, Al Wilson, getting back to him for a moment, first-team All-Pro selection, five Pro Bowls, did play for 8 seasons. So there is a little more longevity there.
Yeah.
Though had the most likely was a neck injury, I believe, that was the biggest problem for Al Wilson. Man, he was really good. I just don't know if his name resonates
on the national level.
Yeah, enough with other football writers
to get
him in.
Whoever's in that room, I think it's legs. Whoever's in there has got to argue hard for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you talk about Wes Welker. No playoff run. No playoff success, really. No rings. He's did not win a Super Bowl. And that hurts.
Yeah.
You know, 4 years in New England, made it to the playoffs. They didn't win a Super Bowl those years.
That's which is so weird to say, right?
He came in after and then left before their runs of success. And in Denver, he came in. He was on the front end of Peyton Manning. But
then he was done when they
won it. He was done.
When he was, you know, taking Molly at the Kentucky Derby.
He's very much he's Brandon Stokely, but a little better.
Yeah. And I think for Jeff Legwald, if you're going to campaign for anybody, it's going to be Rod Smith.
Yeah.
With Tom Nalen right there with him, as far as
Nalen and Stink kind of 1-2.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get both at the same time, but...
And I put Schlereth third on that list. I do. But Nalen, to me, was considered by most one of the, if not the best center in football during his time.
And I do think, though, the argument will be a little easier for Stink. He's got that third ring, and that's not nothing.
That's big. All right, 9-11. Jim, along with the Buckeye boy today, we're hoping to talk with Trent Matthews, Colorado Mesa defensive coordinator, and Mavs offensive coordinator Tom Thanell coming up in just a little bit. But right now, time to talk Palisade Bulldogs football.
Time to get in the huddle with Palisade coach Joe Romano on the team.
With us right now, Palisade Bulldogs football coach Joe Romano. And Joe, this has been a tough stretch for your football team. You played some excellent football teams among that group, the team you faced last Friday night for their homecoming, the Montrose Redhawks, and with Blake Griffin, their talented running back, that really good offensive line with Raul Rascone and company. That you know, it's going to be a really tough game going into Montrose facing that team on their homecoming.
Well, it was, Jim. They're a very good football team, and we knew that going into it. They, you know, just the way they played against Erie the week before, we knew we had our hands full. We have to play a lot better. You know, we're giving things away and we're just trying to get better each and every week, but we open the floodgates at a time and then you're out of it. So, you know, our kids are they're a good bunch, man, and they're resilient. We're going to keep fighting and trying to get better.
Palisade loses at Montrose 40-14. We're talking with Bulldogs coach Joe Romano. And Joe, I think one of those things you're talking about, the punt block, that certainly kind of helped open up the floodgates with Montrose coming up with a big special teams play.
Well, and we had a number of them, Jim. I mean, we knew we had to control the ball because they're so explosive offensively. And, you know, and when we don't do that, we give them opportunities. And, you know, our emotion level is up and down so much, we gotta try to sustain that and keep that going, because once we give something away, we just kind of went into a slump a little bit, and then, you know, they got the punt block and they turned those into touchdowns. It just rolled on us in the second quarter.
Palisade Bulldogs football coach Joe Romano with us on the team. So when you go through a stretch like you're going through right now, an 0-4 start, I mean, what do you do to keep your kids focused on the positives and trying to get this thing turned around? Because it's easy for young men to start getting the daubers down and start getting their heads down a little bit.
Well, you know, Jim, the only thing that I know that whenever you're experiencing something like this, you've just got to keep at it. You got to keep working, and you got to keep bonding together. And it's, you know, this is the sun comes up in the morning. This isn't life or death. This is something that we're going to become better people from. And you know, we talked about a little bit, sometimes your toughness will come out when it's the darkest. So we gotta just keep plugging and trying to get better every day, every practice, and just try to do some things, because you know you're facing it. Everybody is right now. You got injuries, you've got different things going on, but you've got to, you know, next guy up has got to go, and we got to be able to try to put some positive things together and just keep working and fighting.
Palisade Bulldogs football coach Joe Romano with us on the team. Bulldogs have one more non-conference opponent before league play begins, and it's another 4A school. It's 2-2 Golden at Stoker Stadium, and Jayzel Riley, their quarterback, pretty dynamic player, 429 yards through the air. He has thrown 4 touchdowns, but he's also thrown 6 interceptions, but he's also really effective on the ground, 5 touchdowns. He's had 300-yard rushing games, 592 on the ground. So Riley, their quarterback, is really kind of the focal point for Golden in their offensive attack.
He sure is, Jim. He's a very good football player. Somebody you're going to see playing at the next level for sure. He has great skills, great vision, and surrounded by good people. I mean, he's their dynamic player, though. Boy, he gets things done, and he's got great speed, and he just got great vision as well, throwing and running.
Palisade Bulldogs football coach Joe Romano with us on the team. When you've been scouting, looking at film, what does that defense look like that Golden brings in?
Well, they're going to be all over the place, and everybody plays us a little bit different just because of what we run. But they've got good people around. They got, you know, good size, good speed. They've played some tough people themselves. I mean, the loss that they had that was kind of tough was to Ponderosa, who is one of the top teams in the 4A. So we have our work cut out for us, Jim, and that's all right. We're excited about the challenge and what we're able to try to do.
A little bit different start time, 4 o'clock start time for your football team, Joe. Like, you guys would play any time, right? You can play in a parking lot, play at midnight, it doesn't matter. But does it kind of throw things a little bit out of skew for you in terms of game prep, the game day prep, once a 4 o'clock game?
No, I mean, it's you just have to get things going a little bit earlier. Might be closer to practice time, so that might help us a little bit. But we're excited. That's you said it, Jim. You play anywhere. Just we're blessed to be able to do this. And this, I'd always remind our guys, just remember back a few years when we were almost not able to play football. So we're happy that we have the opportunity, and we're going to go out and compete, do the best we can.
Yeah, that's a great reminder to all the young people playing sports right now that, yeah, wasn't that long ago where we didn't know when anybody's going to be on a playing field doing anything. So that's something to really celebrate. Hey, Joe, best of luck against Golden. Thanks for the time, and good luck.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Palisade Bulldogs football coach Joe Romano and our conversation with Joe Romano, brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. So we'll have Fruitland Monument, Bear Creek tonight. Once again, pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 6 o'clock. And then we'll join in progress Pittsburgh and Cleveland tonight. And then tomorrow, pregame at 3:30, 4 o'clock kickoff. Greg Winsell and Vern McGee will have Palisade taking on Golden. That'll be followed by Colorado Rockies baseball tomorrow night. All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye boy, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk with Colorado Mesa University defensive coordinator Trent Matthews as the Mavs get ready to go to Black Hills State this Saturday. That's next on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
921, Jim Man the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Efren Nunez, who won the bid yesterday for the Broncos tickets, stopped by earlier, had a chance to talk with him. Super great guy, and appreciate him listening to the program. Gave him a t-shirt and everything, so we appreciate him spending the $800.
Yeah.
Efren and one of his friends, they pooled that together to go watch the Broncos.
Nice.
Coming up on Sunday night. So that goes to Benefit Partners, and we're going to have more of those ticket auctions coming up. So make sure you listen here on the Jim Davis Show for that. Trent Matthews, CMU defensive coordinator, hopefully be joining us here in a couple of minutes. Text from Mike in Scottsdale. Good morning, muchachos. You know, when you get asked a tough question and you get nervous, start talking really fast, repeat yourself some, forget to breathe in, and sound like you're going to pass out at the end of your ranting answer. Coach Hack needs to breathe in deeply, pause to reflect on what he is going to say, and actually answer the question. I think that he'll be fine, but he needs to compose himself and not be a spaz. I must expect him to pull a Mary Catherine Gallagher and put his hands in his armpits. Superstar. He does get very excited, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's just, it's a mile a minute, and look, sometimes I'm including myself, sometimes get talking very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens. But he does that a lot. Particularly when he's trying to like power through, like Mike from Scottsdale said, power through an answer.
Right.
So I think he makes a valid point about that. From Robert, will the team be watching Mr. Aaron Judge break the real single season home run record tonight? I remember the day the boys were lying to Congress. Sosa pretended not to know English. Have a great day. He's going for the American League record. Try to surpass Roger Maris. Yes, Sosa McGuire and how, particularly Mark McGuire, how he handled himself in Congress, not classy at all. Not the least bit classy.
Well, I mean, I don't know what Robert's talking about there. My home run leader will always be Ed Williamson. Hit 27 in a season. I did it in 112 games. Wait, didn't need 148, 154, 162, steroids.
Just 112, right?
Yeah.
That's all he needed.
He hit 112 games, hit 27. All these other guys taking way too long.
Too many games needed.
Too many games. What a bunch of ninnies. My real home run champion, Ed Williamson.
All right. Time to talk Colorado Mesa Mavericks football. Mavericks of Black Hills State this Saturday on the Team CMU Sports Network pregame at noon, 1 o'clock kickoff. With us right now, Mavericks defensive coordinator Trent Matthews. Trent, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, man.
Last Saturday, the fourth quarter was rough. Jaden Johansson came up with a big game. Jeremiah Bridges had a phenomenal game catching the football for them. I tell you, your defense certainly faced a really potent passing combination with those two in a game that unfortunately got away from you guys in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we just got to do a better job communicating. We beat ourselves. We did a good job. We had a good cohesiveness with our coaching staff defensively. We were prepared. We had the game all three quarters. I just think right now we just got to get our conditioning right, especially in those types of games, and can't be mentally tired. And that's what hurt us. We did not communicate, and we got mentally tired. So we got to fix those two things.
And look, it's a team that came in with a really talented quarterback in Jaden Johansson, both Eastman and Bridges, two really good receivers. And you knew going in that was going to be a real test for your secondary, test for your defense. Certainly an upgrade over what you saw when you faced William Jewell.
Yeah, they do a good job. They got a good coaching staff, really good players. We just, like I said before, we just got to do a better job of communicating in those types of situations. Even if we get, you know, multiple series like that and multiple stops, because it doesn't matter. I told our defense when we came in that Sunday, it doesn't matter if we stop them all day and get all quarters. At the end of the day, you got to stop them. So we didn't do that in that four. I thought we can build on that game because we did a lot of great things.
I know the one thing that had to be a bit troubling for you after you had the 7-sack game against William Jewell was just the 1 sack. Hudson Metcalf came up with the big play on the sack. He also had an interception. He played really well. We'll talk more about him in a moment. But just to have generate only the 1 sack against Black Hills State, that certainly didn't help out South Dakota Mines. Excuse me. That didn't help out the back end of your defense, not putting more pressure on him.
I think we put pressure on him. I think that coaching staff and they did a good job of getting the ball out early. But we just gotta stay in coverage. And there were times where we should have had sacks, but like I said, it all came to that mental toughness and physical toughness. When you go through multiple series like that throughout the game, every time multiple series, and it's fourth quarter, we gotta be able to have that extra gear. So I think if we, I'm glad we got that test. Now we know we got to see what we need to fix. We did it this week, and we're being positive, and we're ready to go. So,
Mavericks defensive coordinator Trent Matthews with us on the team. I referenced Hudson Metcalf, Trent, who had a really good game, had the sack, also had an interception for you, a young man that coming in there at that outside linebacker spot that I thought played really well for you this last Saturday against the Hard Rockers.
Yeah, he did, man. He's a selfless player. He does everything Coach Broden asks. He does everything what I asked. He had a good week of practice last week. He had a good week of practice this week. Now we're looking for him to be consistent and do it again. Now it's the consistency part. As long as we do that at all 11 of us, we'll be fine and win this game. But just got to be one play at a time.
And a guy that is always really consistent, COC Finau, your outstanding inside linebacker, 10 tackles. He had 3 solo tackles, 7 assisted tackles. Finau played really well. Kind of talk about what it's like to have an experienced guy like that anchoring the inside of your defense, Trent.
It's good, man. He's the glue. He makes me right. Anytime I'm in a situation where things might get sticky, he makes sure we're all 11 of us are patient, and we get the back end right, the front end right. He's the glue and make sure everything is sound defensively. Or if we see something that we haven't seen, we make sure he's the one that's speaking, and he does that day in, day out. So he's like that at practice. He's like that in games. He's a seasonal linebacker. He's played the game. He's been in these games. So I'm very appreciative, and I'm blessed to have him playing for me.
Trent Matthews, Colorado Mesa defensive coordinator with us on the team. Now it's Black Hills State. They're off to a 3-0 start, and they're coming off that road win at Chadron State, a place where they got woodshedded last year. So they bounce back this year with a very impressive win at Chadron State. They currently have the third best offense in terms of total offense in the conference right now. Aiden Willard, their quarterback, had a really good game against Chadron State so far this season. He's thrown 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, has 680 yards passing. Kind of take me through what you're seeing on film of the Yellow Jackets passing attack guided by Aiden Willard, their quarterback.
Well, I got to give it to the coaches, the head coaches, the O-line guy, the offensive coordinators, the O-line guys. So they do a good job with their scheme and what they run offensively. They're consistent, and they're really coached well. So what we have to do is be gap sound, do a know our alignment, assignment, technique, and key, and do that consistently. They do have good receivers, good quarterback. They just a good offense, balanced, and pretty sound. We just, like I said before, we had a good week of practice. We've seen the looks that we need to see. And right now, we just got to be prepared for anything. And they I've looked at their track record. They built a program. So we can't go in there expecting just the what we see. We got to expect the unexpected. It's their homecoming. So we made sure that we got these guys, you know, turned up and excited to go play a game. And that's what we like to do anyway.
Trent Matthews, defensive coordinator for CMU, joining us on the team. Mavericks right now the overall number one defense in the RMAC. And when you look at the rushing attack for Black Hills State, what do you see on film of that? It seems like the passing game has been probably more the strength of their offense, Trent, but they do have a really good complement when it comes to their running game.
And that's what we got to do. Anytime, it doesn't matter who we're playing, we always got to stop the run. If we do that and be consistent and make them pass and keep everything in front, we'll be fine. But what hurts us defensively is when we hurt ourselves. We got to overly communicate and make sure we're sound. As long as we do that, we'll be fine. We just got to keep building on that. Taking pride in what we do well and fix the little things. That's important this week.
Hey, Trent, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Best of luck at Black Hills State on Saturday.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. Trent Matthews, defensive coordinator for the Colorado Mesa Mavericks. I mentioned right now the Mavericks with the number one overall defense in the RMAC, taking on the third-ranked offense in the RMAC right now. So last week, the fourth quarter just kind of got away from the Mavericks. Jaden Johansson ended up with the 3 touchdown day and threw all 3 of those to Jeremiah Bridges last week in what was an impressive performance in the fourth quarter by South Dakota Mines. All right, so coming up, we're going to go in the garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Still time to text in today, 970-242-1340, the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. And with us right now to talk the offensive side of the ball for the Colorado Mesa Mavericks football team. He's in his first year as the Mavericks offensive coordinator. Mavericks OC Tom Thanell joins us. Tom, I appreciate the time this morning. Thanks for coming on and talking with us.
No worries.
I know last week, certainly you felt like there were some plays you left out there on the field against South Dakota Mines. Kind of take us through the conversation you've had with your offense this week, because like you said, there were some, looked like some missed opportunities by your offense in that loss to the Hard Rockers.
Well, we seem to be, you know, in both our games, we've started early. We've started out pretty good. We've understood our game plan going in. We've attacked. We've made some plays. And then as the game has kind of weared on or gone on, we've kind of lose our focus for a little while. And I think that's the big thing right now is use our preparation to play our game up to a standard and start learning to finish.
When you look at the success last week for Carse Tunner, through a couple of touchdown passes, 15 of 33, 282, the two touchdown passes, so the one to Keenan Brown, we'll talk about that in a moment, and also Jacob Whitmer has become a favorite touchdown target of his through the first couple of games. I thought for the most part, Carst did a nice job in running your offense, though the offensive line had a tough time protecting him. 7 sacks in that football game, so the protection's got to get better coming up against Black Hills State this week.
Yeah, that's all still part of an adjustment period. I mean, we've had to adjust to a lot of things, you know. I mean, we came in late in the spring. You have to exercise a real appropriate level and a real patience, you know, and that's all it's got to take is a little bit of patience. And, I kind of live by a code that for a while, which we call the level of 5, and we have to start learning to live at that level of 5 and understand that when things are good, we got to come back and we can't think we're a 10. We got to come back and be a 5. And when things are crummy, we can't live ourselves like we're a 1. We got to come back and live at that level of 5. And that's what football is. That's what football teaches. And like I said, we have to get up to the standard and we got to start finishing.
Tom Thanell, Mavericks offensive coordinator with us on the team. Keenan Brown, the CSU transfer, had a great game. 3 catches, 116 yards and a touchdown. That 63-yard score was impressive considering he had to drag a couple of guys for about 8 or 9 yards before he finally broke the plane for the touchdown. That was a sensational effort by Keenan Brown in that game.
Well, that certainly was a great play. Not only did he do that, but he kind of outran the ball in the air for a spell there to get under it. But, that's kind of what I'm talking about. That's our standard. I mean, and we have to live up to our standard as a program, as a team, and as individuals. And that's what our push forward has to be, not only this week, but next week and the week after and the week after that.
Tom Thanell, Mavericks offensive coordinator with us on the team. You take on this week, Tom, the team that has the best scoring defense in the conference in Black Hills State at just over 14 points per game. Aaron Teal, their linebacker, had 11 tackles in their win at Chadron State. He was named the RMAC Defensive Player of the Week. Take me through what you've seen on film of this Yellow Jackets defense.
Well, in my opinion, they're very well coached. And you can say that because they seem to get, if you draw things up on a blackboard or a piece of paper and say, this is where we want you to get, and this is how deep we want you to be, and this is all the this is what we want stuff on a blackboard, these guys actually really get to those places and get to those depths and get to those locations. And so they're a pretty well-coached outfit, and they play hard.
You got 5 interceptions on the season. Kind of take us through what you're seeing from their secondary and some of the coverages that they're running right now.
Well, you know, I mean, most teams, they kind of, they kind of are going to play up in your face when you're into the short side of the field, and to the field, they're going to keep things in front of them. And so those are the things you have to go when you have teams that are well coached and get to where they're supposed to get, your schemes have to attack them doing their jobs. And so we have to go try to take advantage of them doing what they're supposed to do.
Hey, Tom, I appreciate the time this morning. We'll talk to you again next Thursday, and best of luck to you and the Mavericks coming up Saturday when the Mavericks take on Black Hills State at Spearfish. Our pregame starts at noon, 1 o'clock kickoff on the Team CMU Sports Network. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it, sir.
No worries.
All right. See you. Tom Thanell, offensive coordinator for the Colorado Mesa Mavericks, taking on a really good scoring defense, best scoring defense in the RMAC right now in Black Hills State. All right, 9:38. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. It's time for...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment in all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right, 1911, Cy Young, at the age of 44, beats the Pittsburgh Pirates 1-0 for his 511th and final Major League victory. 1927, Gene Tunney wins a unanimous 10-round decision over Jack Dempsey at Soldier Field in Chicago to retain his heavyweight title. The fight is marred by a long 10-count in the 7th round. Dempsey knocks Tunney to the mat, but Dempsey doesn't go to a neutral corner. The referee doesn't start counting until 4 or 5 seconds after Tunney is down. Tunney gets back on his feet and goes on to win. 1969, San Francisco's Willie Mays becomes the second major league player to hit 600 home runs. His two-run shot off Mike Corkins gives the Giants a 4-2 win over San Diego. 1974, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Denver Broncos are the first teams to play to a tie, 35-35, with the newly instituted overtime rule in effect. And 1984, Mississippi Valley State's Willie Totten passes for 526 yards and a 49-32 win over Jackson State. He had some dude named Jerry Rice he threw the football to, 285 yards receiving.
That's helpful.
And I remember watching, and I believe it might have been like a, I think it was an all-star game that Jerry Rice played in. I remember them saying, that guy's going to be a star in the league. Boy, that turned out to be true. But how about the greatest ever Hall of Famer in Jerry Rice? All right, 9:40. We will take a break. We'll come back. And up next, it's In the Garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
Sports.
Sports. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, then we're going to drive straight, and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, time to go in the garage and NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing and information at MontroseFordNissan.com. From the great state of Iowa, he's our NASCAR guru. It's NASCAR Fred. Hello, Fred. How are you, sir?
I am good, Jim, and it continues to be the craziest NASCAR season that I can remember. Actually, it's another winner, another non-playoff winner. That's something that's never happened before, is the first three races, all three races in a playoff round won by non-playoff drivers. It's that's just this kind of year that's been, though. And Chris Buescher gets a win. Good for him.
Yeah, Chris Buescher takes a checkered flag. Chase Elliott second, William Byron third, Christopher Bell, and then Kyle Larson, your top five at Bristol. But it has. It's just been such a wild playoff run here with all these non-playoff qualifiers taking checkered flags during the playoff round.
And not only that, but who's in and who's out of the playoffs. I mean, you've got Austin Cindric and Chase Briscoe and Daniel Suarez are still in the playoffs. You know, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex, not in the playoffs. So go figure. And then, you know, we got Texas this weekend, a mile and a half track. And after that, two more wild cards. We got Talladega and the Charlotte Roval. So we're not done being crazy yet, I don't think.
In the Garage of NASCAR, Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan on the Team Sports Network. So right now, if you were looking at a favorite right now to end up winning this whole thing, who do you like at the moment?
I have to go, and I know odds makers are going with him too, but I have to say Chase Elliott. He's hanging in there. You're not hearing a lot about him because he's just, you know, getting it done. He dropped in the points after that first playoff race at Darlington, but then the next week he's right back up on top of the points. So, yeah, just that's really who I've got to say that stands out right now is Chase Elliott.
Who's the dark horse of the field that's left?
Ross Chastain.
Why Ross now, Chastain? What do you like about Ross?
Well, Ross, I mean, he just gives it 110% every time he's out there. He's capable of winning anywhere he goes. You know, he's won a couple of races already this year. The problem with that is, of course, you know, people might, he's got enough people PO'd at him that they might say, well, if I'm not going to win it, Chastain's certainly not going to win it. So, kind of like Martin Truex said to Joey Logano a few years ago. But, that got to see him as the dark horse. Besides that, I'd say Larson, but he's not really a dark horse. He's, you know, he's a
right
a contender for sure. Watch out for Denny Hamlin. That's what I got to say. I'm pulling for Hamlin. He's been in this thing a long time, never won a championship, and I would love to see him take it this year.
All right, Fred. So, any other NASCAR news, silly season stuff you need to share with us?
Really nothing new this time around. You know, Kyle Busch, of course, signed his deal with Richard Childress Racing. He's going to be driving the 8 car next year. Reddick's still going to be with him for that one more year. I'll have a different number. And so that means, you know, we haven't heard yet who's going to fill that seat, the number 18 at Joe Gibbs Racing. Smart money is saying it's going to be Ty Gibbs, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. Other than that, we're kind of coasting for the moment. Everybody's watching the playoffs.
All right, so the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 500, Texas Motor Speedway, this Sunday, 1:30 our time, USA TV will bring that to you. And as far as your odds for the race on Sunday, Denny Hamlin, followed by Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, in terms of odds for the race coming up on Sunday. So I guess let's recap. I know I made an outlandish, crazy, insane pick, and it totally backfired on me.
Not totally.
But it did backfire me a little bit.
Eric Jones.
Not totally.
21st place. So finished better than Fred. Outside
right.
of the top two, worse than me. So Kyle Busch.
I'm going to soft pick. Engine blows up and stuff.
Yeah. Kyle Busch, DNF for Fred. He slides solidly into third place. You're in second now, Jim.
Okay, because of my crazy pick that I made.
Because you're very solid finish at 21. Chase Elliott's runner-up finish gives me 2 more points and a comfortable lead on first with 36 on the season.
All right, so let's make our picks. Fred, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm looking at who won recently at Texas. So Ryan Blaney won the All-Star race there back in the spring. Kyle Larson won both races there last year. I think I'm going to go with Kyle Larson. He's going to hit his stride this weekend and lock himself into the round of 8. Kyle Larson.
I'm going to go with a guy that's top 3 races, Christopher Bell.
Well, that's a good choice. Both solid choices for you guys. I'm going to go Chase Elliott coming up on Sunday at Texas. And once again, that is on USA TV this Sunday, 1:30 our time. See, you don't have to compete with the Broncos on this. You can watch the race and then watch the Broncos Sunday night.
And
it works out nicely. That is on USA TV.
Why we have DVRs, right?
Exactly. That's the reason we have that. So, hey, Fred.
Christopher Bell. You talking dark horse? Yeah, Christopher Bell, definitely a dark horse.
Okay, very good. Put some money on that from NASCAR Fred, okay? All right, Fred, we appreciate it. Enjoy the racing on Sunday, sir.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
All right. That is In the Garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing information at MontroseFordNissan.com. All right. Let's wrap it up with some garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
Got anything you want to lead off here?
Tom Brady practiced yesterday.
Oh.
Let's read way too much into it. He was going to have Wednesdays off.
That's
now
right.
He's practicing. Doesn't need to go home.
Okay, that's one of two things. Either things are okay with Giselle,
mm-hmm.
or things are not okay. And so I'm going to throw myself into my work.
Yes.
Because the missus is angry at me.
Mm-hmm.
Were there some Arizona State coaches trying to sabotage Herm Edwards?
Probably.
Because he got fired and wasn't able to lead the kind of turnaround with the Sun Devils. A lot of people hoped would be the case. And according to Doug Haller of The Athletic, There were some people within the Arizona State Athletic Department who wanted Edwards gone and may have leaked information to help get him fired. One opposing coach told Howler that it was not difficult to get intel about the Sun Devils because people within the Arizona State program wanted him fired. It's been under investigation by the NCAA after a staff allegedly hosted recruits during a time when it's prohibited due to the pandemic. And five assistant coaches have left his staff during that probe. According to the Athletic, some former staffers believe Edwards knew the team was breaking rules. Others enthusiastically defended him. Never had a losing season. Finished six games above 500 at 26-20. Well, he didn't have a losing season, but they weren't great when he was there.
Yeah. Nuggets training camp roster has been released, at least the initial roster. Some of the names you've come to know and expect. They've invited Nikola Jokic to camp. He probably doesn't need to be
really?
There.
Really?
But he's invited, should he want to show up. Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. Also, a rookie from Texas Tech has been invited. Adonis Arms is invited to the Nuggets.
Gosh,
camp.
You just got
to
hope he makes the roster just for the name, if nothing else.
He better be at least somewhat handsome. With good arms.
He better have one or the other, if not both.
Yeah.
A spectacularly handsome man with great arms, or at least just one or the other.
Yeah. He can't be just kind of, dog hut ugly.
That's a lot of pressure, man.
With just flimsy, limp arms.
Oh, Adonis Arms. I'm looking at a picture.
Yeah.
It's not an ugly guy. Arms are, they're not teeny tiny.
No, there's some definition there.
There's some definition. They're good. Yeah, they're okay. Yeah, I don't know if he necessarily lives up to Adonis Arms,
but
it's not like you're going, wait a minute, that name doesn't even come anywhere close to fitting him. Yeah, it's okay.
He's got a good smile.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, we'll allow it. Because that's really up to us.
We have no say in the matter. Oklahoma State, that rivalry, versus Bedlam.
Yeah.
Has been one of the best in college football for many years, but now, it's going to end 2025 when Oklahoma goes to the SEC. So Oklahoma State Athletic Director Chad Weiberg told the Action Network this week that the Cowboys have no openings in the coming years to schedule Oklahoma as a non-conference opponent. Weiberg said Oklahoma State's Power 5 non-conference schedule is already filled for the next 15 years.
Ooh, I believe it, though.
Mike Gundy was asked Wednesday about the Bedlam series coming to an end. He said he's tired of Oklahoma trying to blame Oklahoma State when the Sooners are the ones who decided to follow Texas and the money to the SEC.
Ooh, that's snarky.
Ooh.
A little bit of sibling slap fight going on there.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I believe it. Notre Dame, Ohio State's been on the books for like 11 years. There are kids that are playing at Ohio State as seniors that, were seventh graders when this deal was struck. So I believe that their schedule's made out that far in advance. But to have no openings?
Yeah, that's
a little
ticked.
Soft.
They're ticked. Yeah. That's retribution.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come on. Gundy just laid it out there, basically. They're leaving, so
why do we have to play them?
Bleep them is kind of what Mike Gundy's implying there.
I'm a man.
I don't want to play you anymore.
I'm 50. I don't want to play you anymore. Me and my mullet.
We'll take on Georgia Southern.
Our T-Boone's picking money. Go play someone else.
They probably thought their team Boone picking money was good enough to maybe get them in the SEC, and they found out that wasn't true.
We ain't going to play Tulsa either. Nobody's saying anything about that.
Are these, okay, very quickly, are they mad because they're leaving, or are they mad because they didn't get an invite either?
Yes.
Probably both. That's our show. I'll be back with you tomorrow along with Cake, and Jim Rome's coming up next. Rockies baseball, head your way at 12:30 today when they take on the Giants on the team.